Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Hello once again, everyone. Welcome to Spiritual Insights. I am Charlotte Spicer. Very excited about this segment, as I'm always excited, but this is especially exciting because many of us are so trying to dedicate ourselves to making physical changes that we want to achieve. And when it comes to physical and spiritual fitness, Sheldon Ginsberg knows what he's talking about. Once a professional physical fitness trainer, not only is he now an author and speaker, but also the CEO of the Institute of Energy-Based Health, your resource for energy medicine and energy healing, bringing his innovative healing techniques to the masses in the 21st century as a stress healing practitioner. He returns to Spiritual Insights to discuss his unique perspective on how to honor your resolution to change your life through physical and spiritual fitness. The momentum of his popularity continues to accelerate as he is featured on various media outlets such as CBS, NBC, and Fox, as well as in various magazines. It's my absolute pleasure to welcome Sheldon back to the show. Hi, Sheldon. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Charlotte. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. It's so good to have you back, and I love this topic because it's the focus for many, and yet we don't know how to get beyond that barrier that seems to be between getting started and maintaining your commitment
right.
to changing. What do you think is the biggest block to keeping that commitment to yourself?
Well, I'm going to start where, because you mentioned some great words. You said honoring the New Year's resolution. And to me, that word honoring is really the powerful word, because when you start to honor where you are and honor your process, and you know, there's such heart in honoring. And so, you know, your question of why is adherence so low over time is because it's a mental choice usually to exercise. And I think also a lot of times you're exercising because you're supposed to, because you know, the media tells you to, and maybe your doctor tells you to, but the process of exercise really is linear, and I'm going to say it, you know, and forgive me, whoever's a personal trainer, it's boring.
Mm.
And I think that you know, so, you're going to be sore. So it's painful, it's boring. It doesn't necessarily reflect the needs of my life. So I have to do it, but I'd really rather not.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why the whole topic here is such an exciting one, an important one, is because we can't do it for the outside reasons. And when we look at exercise, you know, so when I started looking at exercise years ago, I think it's like 15 years ago now, I looked at it and I said, okay, wait a second, what is exercise? What are we doing? What's the goal? Well, as far as I'm concerned, the goal really is personal transformation. It's getting the body to change, to grow strong. So if it's transformation, all right, you know, that made sense to me, and I love that perspective, because then I said to myself, well, if we're going to do this, let's really do it. Let's really transform. And so I think that, you know, the answer to the question is if the reasons are external, then it kind of loses its life, you know, motivation for you, right?
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, we look at it and we go, all right, so what do I want out of my exercise routine? What am I looking to achieve? What is the transformation that I'd like to have, not just as an aesthetic? And one of the things that I love about exercise, because if you really go there and work, aesthetics are easy. They're really gravy. You know, now it may take you a year to get there. It may take you 2 years to get some aesthetics that you feel comfortable with. But if your goal is aesthetic focused, you know, it only has so much energy that you get into it. Now, maybe if you're in college, you know, I mean, I remember when I was in college, you know, it's all about attracting girls. So the aesthetics really was the driving force.
Right.
And it worked because I was in the gym 6 days a week. But once I got into my professional life, once I got into my real, you know, daily world, that as a motivator went away. Because I'm stressed and I'm dealing with finances, I'm dealing with this. You know, it's too many things you're dealing with, and that one-dimensional approach of exercise because I want someone to appreciate how I look, after a while it just kind of fades.
Do you think it feels kind of empty?
Eventually, you know, because at the beginning, especially when you're young, it can fail you, and it can fail you for a little while. But, you know, what I think is so important about being human is to really understand that we're always evolving. We're always headed in a certain direction. And so, you know, if you do it for those reasons, you know, it's just like anything else. If you eat the same foods, you know, at first you're so happy to eat that food, but then after a while it gets to be boring. So if you're exercising for the same reasons and you know, I mean, at a certain point, if you're there 6 days a week and you've been there for 2 years, you look good. And, you know, you may get little benefits here and there in terms of aesthetics because your measurement went from 1 inch to, you know, a smaller inch. But it doesn't really make a big difference at a certain point. So why am I exercising at this point?
Until you get to where?
Well, I think that then... once you start, if you're really in a life that is full, so you have kids and bills and responsibilities and dreams, I think really the way is dreams. So if you have aspirations and dreams, you know, personal, professional, you know, traveling the world, whatever it is, you incorporate that into your exercise routine. You start to, this is the nature of the book that I wrote, so it's The Guide to Holistic Fitness. Which you can get on my website for free. And so it's about how do we take the exercise and use it as a way to practice attributes that are important to me in my life. So as an example, I want more integrity into my life, you know, which to me a lot of ways I find that I practice integrity is you keep your word to yourself. You know, you say you're going to do 10 reps, you do 10 reps. You say you're going to run for 20 minutes, run for 20 minutes, you know, keep that word to yourself. And then when you reach that goal of 20 minutes, you know, that's great that you ran 20 minutes and your heart rate went up to whatever and, you know, all that's great stuff. But the real focus is that spiritual focus of you're stronger in your commitment, you're stronger in your integrity. And then the more you practice that approach, especially when it's related to your physical body, and this to me is really the important part of this, then you're more familiar, you're more comfortable with being or having integrity. You know, you're more comfortable with feeling what it feels like to commit to something. So, you know, committing to, let's say, another person may overwhelm someone. But so how we practice, we talk about exercise and we say, listen, you know, I want to lift 100 pounds. Well, I'm not going to go to the gym the first day and I never lifted before and lift 100 pounds. I need to work up to 100 pounds. So.
Right.
If my goal is commitment in a relationship and I have commitment issues, you know, so therapy is good. You know, absolutely go to therapy and other healing modalities. But another way to do it is go to the gym and practice being committed towards your practice. You know, it could be yoga. It could be Pilates. You know, it's choosing a level of commitment and then maintaining it and then evolving it. You know, so if day one, like you go to the gym and you know, your commitment is go there for 10 minutes because you're starting a New Year's resolution. All right, well, stay with that commitment, you know, and then the goal is not that you exercise hard or who cares about how well you exercise. The goal is to get to the gym every day because that's your commitment.
Right. And it's not so much that you need to get there the first day and be there for 2 hours or maintain a 2-hour regimen for weeks to a month. It's like you're saying, start small, 10 minutes, but get there every day and be consistent in your commitment.
Right.
Do you think that it's easier to make a promise to someone else or an employer, and then when it comes to keeping our own promises, it's easier, we'd rather let ourselves down than someone else. Do you think that's a factor in the issue of keeping your commitment?
I think so, and I think also it's easy to talk yourself out of it, you know, especially when like exercises are our focus. So I'm going to go to the gym, and I plan to go after work. Well, you know what? It's Monday. I'm tired. I'm going to start tomorrow. That's it. It's over. You know?
Yeah.
So, and then to me, what you need to do is maybe consider going in the morning before work, you know? But either way, it's not so much about that conversation as it's about stepping back and saying, okay, I'm making this commitment, and I'm not just making this based upon one dimension of my thought, you know. So, for instance, again, that's why when we think about exercise, it's just the physical. But if you incorporate that, what I'm really doing by exercising is I'm practicing I'm developing my ability to commit. And, you know, like you said, that first week, it's all about you walking into the gym for 10 minutes only, and doing whatever you feel like doing. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be amazing. It doesn't have to be anything. It could be getting on the treadmill and standing there watching TV for the first day. That's it.
Absolutely.
But you were there,
mm-hmm.
right? But you were there.
And you're getting acclimated to the environment.
Right, right,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so after time, you know, if you keep on, and then this is where we have progression. So let's say you decide, okay, I'm gonna go to the gym, I'm going to just do 10 minutes, and I'm okay with my results. It's not about that I have to, you know, lose weight immediately. You know, exercise is a lifelong habit, you know, and so what I've learned is that if you're patient with yourself and you allow yourself to evolve within your practice of exercise, you get results. You know, they happen when they happen, but you're not there to get results as much as you're there to provide quality in terms of getting to know your body better. And so, you know, part of our topic here is how do we connect the physical to the spiritual? Getting mm-hmm. to know your body better really is the foundation of being spiritual. You know, how can you connect to a larger, expanded perspective if you're not in your body? So, you know, getting on the treadmill, you know, so let's say let's make a little program for new people. So, again, the goal is just to get to the gym for 10 minutes for the first week. In that
right.
10 minutes when you're there, you commit to whatever you're doing, if it's a treadmill, if it's the bike, if it's lifting weights, really focus upon it. Really get into the motion of your legs, the feeling of weight bearing on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to run, then you feel, you know, your heart going. If you're going to lift weights, you focus on that muscle. Really connect to the experience that your body is having for that 10 minutes. And I guarantee you, if you do that every day for 10 minutes, something magical will happen. And then that eventually, then the next week or the following weeks, you'll want to do more. You'll feel better, and you'll go, you know what? It actually feels kind of good, because you're not putting, and here's to me is important too, you don't put a structure on yourself. For instance, 3 sets of 10, and, you know, I have to do 20 minutes because I got to get into my fat-burning zone. Yeah, all that's important eventually, but
mm-hmm.
if you know in the past that, you know, your ability to maintain your resolution is a problem, that's where you start. You start with just getting into the gym, doing 10 minutes of something that kind of feels good to you, walking on the treadmill, you know, stretching. Just do something that your body says, I like that. And then you do more
yes.
of that.
Because
and
it's
it
nurturing.
Goes.
Yes. My thing is when I maintain my routine, or let me call it this, my lifestyle of including exercise in my daily routine or even every other day, when I do something that makes my physical body feel good, it rewards me with energy. It rewards me with feeling a sense of calm, and it lets go of the stress. And it's kind of give-and-take relationship, because as we nurture ourselves, then the more nurturing our body's going to want. And that's
yeah.
what I feel, and I just get so energized and inspired. But do you think, in terms of people who, okay, it's a new year, I'm going to stop the potato chips and whatever else we're all doing that is counterproductive to what we envision in our minds, but we set that bar so high, and that is like the first tripping stone, where you're not going to go to the gym for 2 hours a day and break a sweat and do all those reps. You know, like that's a huge thing to measure up to in your mind. So, like you said, starting out with just standing on the treadmill watching TV, or in my case, I start out with 10 crunches. If I get off my game for a while, 10 crunches, just that. And then after a while, your body says, can we do 10 more?
Right,
and then can
you got
we
it.
Do another 25?
Yes.
Next thing I know, I'm doing 200 crunches a day in sets of 50.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so it's so much about just allowing you to go through your evolution, you know, and not, you know, letting go of comparing who you are today to what you did in the past. You know, so the work that I've developed over the years is to really pay attention to what has the body gone through. You know, so for instance, if you're 20, then it's really, you know, more of a, you can do a lot more. If you're 40, you've been through a lot already, and your needs are not the same when you were 20.
Yes.
So you don't need to lift 185 pounds chest press. You don't need to do that anymore. You need more stress reduction. And you need more just functional toning so you can maintain your lifestyle and then progress down that road.
Mm.
So I think a lot of it is, start small, you know, let yourself, you know, start at a place that you feel comfortable doing and let yourself grow there. You know, so what I love when I work with people is instead of counting the number of reps they do, I say do as many as you can until you want to stop. Now, here's another way of practicing this. If you practice self-honesty, then after you finish that set of, you know, let's say you did lightweight and you did 20. All right, well, 20 is not really going to give you, you know, a lot of results because it's just so light. So, but if you're honest, you'll say, that was really easy. Next time I do that, I'm going to do it heavier. And it doesn't have to be 1,000 pounds heavier. You know, you pick a one little peg higher, and then you do it. And then what you're doing is you're playing rather than focusing so much on the efficiency. In the Guide to Holistic Fitness, I did some math and I figured out, you know, depending upon what age you are, how many visits to the gym someone has over a lifetime. And there are thousands of visits over a lifetime. And so what I love about that is there any one visit to the gym that's more important than the other?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, you know. So exercise to me is never about that, you know, you have to go and push your limit every day. It's about consistency. You know, it's about getting there and you know, doing what you can do. And so if you do 20 minutes one day, and that's great, and the next day you try it again and you're really exhausted, then don't do 20 minutes. Don't push yourself if your body's telling you that it needs to rest.
Yes.
You know,
you have to recognize your limit.
Right. And that's what I love, again, it's when the more you practice being present with your body during exercise, because that's what the focus is, it can become a meditation because you're no longer in your head.
Mm-hmm.
It connects you to where your body is and what your body needs. And that, to me, is so important, because if you're out in your day and you're doing your life and you're connected to your body, when your body says, you know what, I need you to drink, I need you to eat, I need you to rest, you know, you're connected, so you can actually provide your body what it needs in that moment. And then what I also think is very wonderful is, you know, because the nature of our lives are so go, 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 and most gym environments are go, 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 it's kind of counterproductive to work what we need in terms of balance. So what I would suggest for your listeners is, you know, you go to the gym, you know, you work as hard as you're going to work for that day. And once you're done, because you're still, you know, once you've done some serious exercise or whatever exercise you've done, you'll be mentally calmer. That's the perfect time to meditate. That's the perfect time to expand into a larger perspective. You know, that's more based upon being connected to a spiritual world.
Right. I want to touch on a couple things, and in case we have new listeners that did not spend time with us in our last segment. You were here last on October 11th, 2013, and we discussed several of the other things that you do. But I want to weave the stress factor into the fitness factor. And so just to kind of back up just a little bit, what we discussed in our last segment was Sheldon's de-stress therapy, also known as energy regeneration therapy. And this technique has been proven highly effective. So to help you just get a little bit acquainted with the effects of this, I'll ask Sheldon to just give a little background on that, if you would, Sheldon.
Of course. I was a personal trainer about 15 years ago, and I was also studying energy medicine. And what I started to understand is that the people who I'm working with, they're holding tension in their bodies, their neck is tight, they can't move as well, so they're limited because of that tension. And then as I researched and really investigated more, I realized that it's the external stress causes internal tension. And because the body is always evolving and adapting, it eventually becomes better, it becomes trained at storing stress in the body. So, I mean, people, I'm sure you've seen that people walk around with their shoulders in their ears. You know, their neck is never relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Back pains, neck pains, you know, so much of it is based upon that the body never gets a chance to really release its tension.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized, okay, this needs to be addressed, because if I can help my clients to release that tension and open their bodies up, they move better, they feel better, and results happen so much faster.
Absolutely.
So I'm sorry. So it's a process that I have actually two things. So I have the de-stress therapy, which I do one-on-one in my sessions in my office. I do virtual sessions, and also I have a de-stress therapy product. And all of them basically do the same thing, which is to guide you to relax the tension in your body and then use that relaxation to actually melt tension and pain, to actually help yourself heal, release negative emotions, you know, really navigating that inner world in a new way.
Perfect. You know, I want to tell the listeners, while you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go to Sheldon's website and look around and checked out, we mentioned the Guide to Holistic Fitness. You can actually download that for free by signing up today and learn how to use your body's tools, quote-unquote, to live spiritually and on purpose. So the website is energybasedhealth.com. Go ahead over there. Start poking around as we talk, because we're going to get a little more into this topic and take everything from that body, mind, spirit perspective. We are talking about losing weight, but we want to talk about the best way to support yourself in doing that mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So if you want to go ahead and visit the website, go ahead. So, Sheldon,
you know what I'd like to do is if I can, is focus on the letting go of weight. I think that's really, people really focus on that, and there's something I think that I have an important perspective, if that's okay.
Sure, perfect. Go ahead.
Okay. I focus upon what is the perspective of the nervous system and what is consciousness doing. And what I found is that what I believe happens is fat becomes undigested life. And so one of the things I think happens is we use food and the insulation that fat provides to keep us safe from the outside world as the consciousness thought, you know, in other words, it's not really true, but it makes us feel better, you know, which is, I think, a lot of times when people do lose weight, what happens is they feel vulnerable and they feel emotional, and so they eat and they gain the weight back.
Yeah.
So what I like to say is that, you know, the fat on your body is undigested life, and the way it needs to be digested is by breathing into it and by accepting it as it is and by listening to your body as you're breathing. And there's other physiological aspects of breathing that causes the body to burn fat. But I really am so much about the power of consciousness to make transformation within the body and the mind. So if you really receive the presence of your fat and learn to be comfortable in your body, when you get to that point of weight loss and then you get to the point of feeling some of the vulnerability that happens as a result of feeling thin and exposed, you breathe into those feelings too, because you're practicing breathing into feelings. And then what you always end up learning when you do that is easy to understand on a mental level, but it's the experiential part of us that needs to learn this, is that the more you breathe into your feelings and your inner state, they change. You know, they flow. They're not designed to stay static. And
no.
So you start, right? So
you're breathing out.
That.
As you breathe in, you're removing the blocks, which allows it to flow freely.
Right, And then likewise, or conversely, if you're not breathing, the blocks just stay there.
And maintains the static, causing stagnation, and that causes the emotional padding that is what you determine as undigested lies, correct?
Right. Correct. Perfect. Yes.
And what would those lies be? Like, I'm not worthy? Starting under the I'm not worthy umbrella and all the lies you can tell yourself underneath?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not emotional lies. It's life, L-I-F-E.
Oh, life. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it's undigested life.
Life. My apologies.
So in other words, so what happens is, so this is how I kind of see how life occurs. So you have a day, and during that day you meet people and you have events and you have interactions. And all that affects you. All that affects your nervous system. So then you go home, and then what we usually do is we just keep having our day, and But what needs to really happen is we need to stop and reflect. We need to say, okay, what happened in that relationship, and what does that mean for me, and how do I want to navigate that in the future? And so you spend the time really listening to yourself and reflecting upon what happened to you and learning the lessons. Now, I find that if you don't do that, then the lessons start to pile up and you haven't taken responsibility for them. And then because there's that psychic pressure to face yourself and you don't want to face yourself, you go and you eat.
Yes.
And then that's the cycle that occurs, and then you have this all this fat that really represents an undigested aspects of your life.
Aspects.
So if you spend it, yeah. So if you spend some time, breathing and tuning into yourself, then you can help to clear it out and to get the lesson and to help the body to balance. I mean, it's just the list goes on of benefits by stopping and breathing.
Absolutely. And getting back to the nervous system. Do you feel that, when we're anxious, the last thing on our mind is to think, many of us, I would suggest, when I'm stressed out, sometimes it takes me a while to say, you need to go and meditate or you need to go and stretch. And so the last thing we think is to de-stress in the proper way, such as your techniques, etc., rather than reaching for food, reaching for something else that creates a sedative effect or an artificial sense of relaxation.
Yes.
Does that make
sense?
Yeah,
it does, yeah. And I would say that, this comes back to having a spiritual commitment. So for instance, we can say to your listeners, listen, and this is not new information, meditation and breathing is really healthy and important for your life. Everyone basically knows this at this point, but how many people are doing it? And it's because it's another thing on my list of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if we pull back again a second and say, okay, picking one goal, one thing I want to practice, whether it's, integrity or just being spiritual, whatever it is, so you can't overwhelm your goals, because then, like you said before, you stop doing it because it's too much. So you pick one and you say, okay, I really want to, my stress is high, and I need to be less stressed, and I really want to connect to being a more spiritual person. So I'm going to commit to, for the next, 2 weeks, to, before I go to sleep, to spend time in a chair breathing for 5 minutes. That's not so bad, right? So five minutes for 2 weeks. Okay. And at the end of 2 weeks, you'll have results. I guarantee you will feel better if you do 5 minutes for 2 weeks. And then what's going to happen is, and this is why I always tell my clients, I want to get you addicted to breathing. If you do it for 5 minutes for 2 weeks, then at the end of the 5 weeks, you're like, I'm going to do 10 minutes. What happens even more is that you start to realize, I'm going to bring the breath into my meetings. I'm going to breathe while I'm in traffic. I'm going to breathe while I'm standing online. All of a sudden you realize you can apply it everywhere.
Yes. And you know what it turns into? For me, perhaps I'm echoing the thoughts of the listeners who do practice this. If you were to do that for 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then there's a night where you don't do it, such as when we are in a consistent schedule of working out, the day you don't do it, your body's like, what are you doing? Something's missing. What's the matter with you? And you feel that absence of an energy that fills you, which I equate with the energy of thank you for nurturing me, finally, and sticking with your commitment, because when we think of leading a spiritual lifestyle, it doesn't have to, you know, just involve carrots and celery sticks or meditation. When we think of in terms of working out, we see the physical side of it, but I would venture to say don't separate the two. It's all one spiritual commitment. It's just on mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual levels, but it's all one. Does that paint a picture? Okay.
Yep. And like, so for instance, again, if you know, so there are either people who are starting out or people who are really immersed in exercise. So as an evolution for the people who are already exercising, really see if you can, you know, tune out your senses. You know, don't watch TV. You know, maybe you have your headphones on, but it's background music or meditative or something that, you know, just is somewhat soothing or interesting to you. So that way you can lose yourself in your exercise, lose yourself in the effort, lose yourself in creating quality movements and getting to know your body better. And then what I'd say is at the end of that routine, when you've really pushed yourself, you know, really well, sit and just be in that space that you created of having your body be healthier, you know, listening to its needs. Maybe it needs to stretch. Maybe it needs to just relax. You know, really tune in. And I think exercise is such a great mechanism of tuning in because you're applying energy through your body.
Right. Is it, would the term creating a dialogue with your body be an effective direction to take so far as anybody saying, but how do I do that?
Yeah, that's a great place to start because, you know, so I love asking the questions, you know, putting things in question format. So if maybe it's how do I create a dialogue with my body?
Okay.
And then
I'll tell you what.
Go ahead. And then what you can do is when you're, you know, when you ask that, you know, so you ask that question and you go to the gym and you're now living the question. You're now, as you're exercising, as you're on the treadmill, whatever you're doing, you're asking that question again. You're paying attention. You're keeping your eye on the ball and saying, okay, I want to create a better dialogue in my body. I don't know how to do that. How do I do it? Now, the answer is your body has the answer. Your body knows the answer. You just have to listen to your body, and asking the question focuses your attention upon your body in a very specific way. And the body, because you're asking this question over and over again and you're living the question, your body starts to answer it for you. And it may talk to you through sensation or through feeling or through images, you know, or maybe memories. I mean, this is where, to me, it's such a great spiritual moment because you open yourself up to receive any information as it comes to you, and you're really observing it as it comes.
Yes, absolutely. Memories, intuition. It can all speak to you to tell you what your body needs, and that's the question we need to ask when we come back. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll pick up where we left off, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Explore new areas of interest, expand your knowledge, and gain clarity about your life's purpose at the Ocala Enter Center. Affectionately known as OIC, the Ocala Enter Center, just 2 blocks south of Town Square, offers workshops, classes, healing meditations, and special events for the Ocala, Gainesville, and Central Florida spiritual community. check out our calendar of events at OcalaEnterCenter.com. And if you're looking for a place for your next workshop or seminar, go to OcalaEnterCenter.com and give Gene a call.
Hello, everyone, and we are back with Sheldon Ginsberg. He is a spiritual and physical fitness innovator, and we are talking about ways in which we can create a dialogue with our bodies to determine what it needs and maintaining a spiritual focus on physical fitness so that we do achieve mind, body, spirit, and physical alignment. So, Sheldon, when
yes.
we focus on, you were saying, live the question, and tune into the memories, and I had mentioned tapping into intuition. Where do you want to go from there?
That's a great question. I think let's talk about spirit. Let's talk about one of my favorite things is how to channel that intuition and that spiritual connection, you know. So running is such a great way to do that, you know, and when you really focus on your run and you lose yourself when you run, I know many people know what I'm talking about. It is really a spiritual experience. When you're lifting the weights, you know, tune into, you know, once you feel comfortable and, you know, everything's an evolution. So start out safe, get to know the weights, get to know how to use it. But once you get to that certain level of expertise, you can let yourself go and stop being structured and let yourself play, you know, go from exercise mm-hmm. to exercise, you know, explore the physical environment and allow yourself to get out of the mental realm. And I find that, you know, the more connected you are to physical, the more emotionally open you are, then when guidance comes in easier, you know, you hear your truth. You hear your clarity, you know, you're able to stay present with people. And that to me is a world of, especially when it comes down to being present.
Absolutely. Because we do get lost. I want to use the phrase mental mind chatter. And
yeah.
when Sheldon's saying, you know, get out of your head and kind of gain your focus, you're still in your mind. However, we go from that left brain tape that plays over and over, what did I have to do, what did I forget to do, all that racing in the mind that takes place. And you get to step out of that, connect to the body, and maintain a spiritual focus, which develops the sense of being present, and you will feel a difference. And I wanted to say the words, like when you are working out, and I have to add, I can't run. I have weakness in my hips, knees and ankles, so I was never a big runner. But I do love to walk because I kind of go into a meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
If I know I'm on a safe walkway where, you know, I don't have to worry about cars and I don't have to worry about anyone sneaking up behind me, I get into such a meditative state. And that's when I can really dialogue with myself on a variety of levels and get those epiphanies and the inspiring thoughts. And, oh, yes, earlier in the show you mentioned having a dream or having a goal. And during moments like that, it's, you know, one of those conversations from long ago where you said, if I ever get to slow down or if I ever get to control my life instead of my life controlling me and my schedule, this is something I would like to pursue. And that's when something like that can come through.
Mm-hmm.
And because once we get on a path like this, the body knows what you're trying to accomplish, and it will assist you in that endeavor. Spirit certainly knows what you're trying to accomplish, and they are going to assist you in all of
mm-hmm.
your endeavors and try to make this as accessible as possible. How easy it is up to you, because like Sheldon says, like stress is inevitable. What is it? Suffering is optional. We can let go of the suffering by not looking at starting a workout routine is so fearful, because like you explained, it doesn't have to be when you start small and you open yourself to dialogue from the body telling you what it needs, and when you satisfy it, it rewards you
right,
in a variety
right.
of ways. But you were saying, hear your truth. Mm-hmm.
I was saying the greatest way I think to start all this is really to commit to a breath routine, you know, and because the breath right away is spiritual, it's physical, it's mental, it's emotional. It starts you at the base. And then from that breath, you can go into, all right, now that I feel more comfortable with breath and I feel calmer in my body because, you know, so you bring, if you're stressed from your day and you've been stressed from your day for 10 years, whatever's going on, and you go to the gym, you're bringing that stress into the gym environment, and then the gym environment, because exercise is another level of stress. So what are we trying to do here? I think that what needs to be done is we need to practice letting go of our tension and clearing the mind and you know, really opening the body up and then going to exercise. And the best way to do that, you know, is to breathe.
Okay. Let me ask a clarifying question.
Yes.
So we want to start with focusing on the breath. We were talking about doing a short routine of 5 minutes before retiring for the evening, sitting in a chair with yourself, just simply breathing, and let it go with that, and then after a few weeks you will see a difference. Now, when you're saying when we go into a gym, that is stress, and are you saying that the physical act of exercising is an experience of tension and increasing that tension so that when we stop, that is when we truly relax? Is that what you're saying? Or correct?
No. So the body has – so when you walk into the gym environment, you've already had X amount of tension from the day and also X or Y amount of tension from your past. So when – and exercise itself, so if you're running on the treadmill, that means your legs have to exert energy through the muscle system and it has to be a tightening of the muscles. The heart rate's increasing, blood pressure's increasing. You're lifting weights, you're creating tension in your body. Now, the tension you've been under in terms of physiologically looking at it from the day has caused your body to tighten and to increase its heart rate, increase its blood pressure. So it's a fight-or-flight response.
Right.
And when you're exercising, you're causing a similar response to occur within your body. Now, what I will say is that if you have, let's say, well, without any kind of units on this, but let's say you have 100, you know, whatever units of stress in your body.
Okay.
And you go to the gym, and you exercise. And so we do say that exercise is a stress reliever. So well, maybe you removed, you know, 10 units of stress. And then what you'll do is you'll go home, and maybe the cell phone will ring, or you're dealing with your kids, whatever it is, and you're back up to 100. All right. So and then you go to the gym the next day, and maybe you're there with 100 again. And so you're only really playing with 10 units of stress when you go to the gym, and you're taking some away, but they come right back on because you haven't taught your body to let go of its tension.
That makes sense.
Now, if you spend time before your exercise relaxing and releasing the tension from your day, clearing your mind from the day, you're not there to think about whatever happened, you're there to commune with your body. Maybe that's a great way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first communion is to breathe and release all the tension. So now you've already lost the 10. That first just breathing takes you down from 100 to 90. And then you go on your exercise, and now you're down to 80. And then maybe at the end of the day, you know, before you go into bed, so you go home and you're still relatively calm and relaxed, and you breathe, and now you're bringing yourself down to 70. And then the next day you wake up and you're less stressed. And then maybe you go back up to 100, but if you keep doing this, let's say, for the week, eventually your body goes, you know what, I don't need to be at 100 anymore. I can function just fine at 70.
Mm-hmm.
And then 70 becomes your normal. And then you keep evolving your ability to release the tension from your life before it takes hold in your body.
And that would be one of the most effective things that would help anybody, because we all have stress. You know, no matter how spiritual your life is, you will have stress. But with what you're saying, the ability to release it is what helps you kind of win the game, the stress game, and be able to function at a level that is healthier.
Absolutely. And
for you.
And the stress game, I love the way you say that too, is it's two things. It's one, it's about not allowing stress to affect you as much, you know, and that's an evolution process. So the more that you practice not allowing stress, then you get better at it. And then because you're not stressed, you're eliminating health conditions. Insomnia is caused by stress, digestive problems, immunity problems. You know, any condition you have is going to be exacerbated by stress. So by winning the stress game, you're going to eliminate so much. And what I love about this, too, is so you're not just, let's say, taking off the stress coat. You know, you are, but you're also now opening the space for higher connection to spirit, to understand more about where you really want to go in your life, to see a brighter future, to feel the ability to actually manifest what you're saying because you're not bogged down by stress. So it's such a by not having stress, you open up your life to more light.
Mm. That's probably the most poetic way I've heard somebody explain the effects of stress.
Thank you.
That is, and I really hope that everybody listening is, I was hoping to inspire everybody to not just want to shed pounds, but really embrace a new version of themselves, the truer version of themselves, in which they embrace a new mindset, a new emotional barometer, that when they hit that wall of stress, and then pull up and say, you know what, this is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I will not accept this level of stress and keep eating it and eating it, and then go home and whether you're overeating or other causes, but we keep accepting. And I think in this day and age, I think we all need to raise our standards. And in order to raise the standards in like a society setting, we first have to raise them with ourselves. And for me, I wanted to raise my standards to say, I will do my best to take care of myself so that I can take better care of the things that I'm obligated to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find myself in this spiral where I have to do this, I'm pulled in this direction, I have this deadline to meet, and after a while, it's going to kick in, and I'm going to start beating myself up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For not having lived up to the superwoman complex or Superman complex that we sometimes develop. You know, we have this, whether you work in an office or whatever your job is, and you take this title to heart, and that's who you think you are, and then you have a family and children or whatever your obligations. Even if you volunteer, eventually you're going to say to yourself, I have to be there, but I don't want to, and then the stress elevates and to this level, and then I think there's some switch that flips.
Right.
And
right.
We need to raise our spiritual standards so that these competitive standards don't maintain their hold on us, and then we start to self-sabotage in a variety of ways.
Yes, absolutely. And the simple thing that I look at it as, the epidemic that we're dealing with is stress, and that stress affects the physiology, your thoughts, your clarity, your spirit, everything. So the problem is stress. And if we could train ourselves to be less affected by stress and be less stressed ourselves, then not only does our health problems change, not only do we lose weight, people have lost weight just because they're less stressed with me, but mm-hmm. they have clarity, they feel better, they see the trees in the forest. I mean, it addresses everything in one easy thing.
Yeah. Yes, and since you mentioned that, let's go over some of the – you mentioned a few earlier – but you have a whole list of health problems, including stopping premature aging, which is a huge effect of stress. It's not to say I don't have stress in my life, but I have my spiritual routines, my morning routine, my bedtime routine. And also in my life, forgiveness is a large component. And people think I have some fountain of youth, and that's not the case. You know, I do my best to decrease my stress level and promote my own well-being, but you have a whole list. You had joint pain. I mean, look at the pains that we experience in our bodies as a result of stress. Look at fibromyalgia and different things like
mm-hmm.
that. So
mm-hmm.
stress being the cause of all of this, and then look at all the medicines on the market, which, what do? Mask it? You would probably have more information than I would about that. You know, masking symptoms and never addressing the stress.
Yeah, I think that's, to me, what it is. It's easy to take the pill, but then you got to take the pill forever. And I have no objection to medicine. It's fine, but it needs to be identified as what it is, which to me is a crutch. And you need crutches. So that's fine. So, you know, for instance, let's call it high blood pressure medication.
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
right, you know, so that's fine. You know, use it, lower it. But then it's on you to go exercise. And it's on you to get your heart into better shape so you can stop the medications.
Absolutely.
I think that what I really see is that there's so much ability we have for healing. But we got to get out of the way. We got to trust that the body can heal itself if we get out of the way, which, again, goes back to just how do you do it? You breathe. And then you can deal with your health problems differently because there's more potential for deeper healing to occur, especially when you start to watch, let's say, for instance, when I work with people, I help them melt tension in their bodies. I help them melt pains. And they look at me and they're like, wow, it's amazing that pain is gone now. And I say to them, well, you know what? I showed you how to do it, but now that technique is yours forever. You can do that forever on your pains. And so I just know from my own experience that the body knows how to heal. It knows how to balance. It wants to be in balance. It can't if our minds are constantly focusing upon problems and stress and what's wrong and what we don't have and on and on.
And it's saying it the same way. Our minds are constantly focused on either the past or the future. It's getting
right.
It into the present that will allow that healing to take place. And we need to commit not only to taking care of our physical needs, but the needs of our nervous system. And recognizing
right.
when you've hit that line and crossed that line of normal stress into degenerative stress. Is that a good word for it?
Yeah, that's a good word for it. That's a great word. I like it.
Thanks. I just pulled it out of the air.
You did. That's a great word.
Our minds and bodies fall apart. Our emotions are scattered everywhere. We're a mess.
Yes. Yes.
We become a mess. How do we get it together? And we do this by doing what Sheldon's saying. We start with the breathing, and then you move into
right.
physicality, and then move
right.
into development.
Still?
Not so much going from zero to lifting 200 pounds a day. It's easing into a lifestyle that is right for you in whatever combination
yeah.
that takes.
Right. And I mean, you can go, let's say, hire a trainer and learn about exercise. Not necessarily you stay with them forever, but it's more about getting an idea of what exercise, what is your playground? You want to learn your playground. So if you're going to a gym or whatever you're doing, you know, you learn the language. And so that way when you get to the point of you know, wanting to progress, you know, you can play with the different aspects of it and have more fun. And here's what I'll say. If your body's having fun, you will get results.
Because you're going to want more of it.
Because you want more of your body. And also, though, the hormones that are released from the fun and the exploration, it offsets all the stress hormones and the endorphins. And you think, you know what, I can't wait to do it again because I just had so much fun. And so that's why I say is, if you focus on the fun and the quality and the exploration and the growth, and you just be consistent, your results will happen. They're guaranteed to happen because you're there doing it on a consistent basis.
Yes, and I've been there when, you know, during the highlight of my yoga practice, I woke up, I'm like, I don't want to go to yoga, and then I had to because I made a commitment to someone else, so I had to keep that promise. Like I said earlier, it's easier to break a promise to myself than it is to someone else. So I went begrudgingly,
right.
and afterward, you know, I'm all like a limp noodle and just all blissful and floating, and why would I not want to come here? What were those thoughts that tried to prevent
right.
me from getting here? And we all have them, but it's a matter of putting those thoughts in perspective and saying, it's just a thought. I'm doing it anyway. I made a commitment.
Right. Got it. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then right there, you have success.
Absolutely, and not to say that everybody has to join a gym. I want to get to the monetary factor
right.
because I know that's a major concern. And guess what? That's part of the major factors of the stress we're experiencing, right? So it doesn't
right.
mean
yep.
you have to join a gym. I know there's a nice special in my area where $1 a day or, you know, $30 a month, and that's great, but that doesn't count the amount of gas it's going to take me to get there and the
right.
time. My schedule is booked, so I'd rather have my routine at home. So I wanted to
right.
kind of segue there for a little bit, if you would. So let's look at the monetary aspects of you don't have to join a gym. You don't have to hire a personal trainer. I mean, you can hire a nutritionist. If you have the means to do these things and that's the kind of help you would like to seek out, those things are there for you. There are programs to help you count calories, to, you know, Jenny Craig and all
right.
that good stuff. But I think...
Right.
Before you even attempt to do any of that, you need to sit and have a good long talk with yourself and Send a friend request. I'll make a Facebook joke. Send a friend request and try to accept it with a whole heart, an open heart, and accept the friendship of yourself and say, we're going to do this together, which means mind, body, emotion, spirit, and that when you feel your sense of disalignment, that you'll say, no, I need to get back into alignment, and I'm going to keep my commitment, and then thank yourself later. But as far as things we can do at home, Sheldon, in case anybody wants to get started with something small, like I said, I generally start out with 5 crunches per day. I maintain that for about a week, and then I bump it up to 10, and so on. What would you recommend for the tight budget?
So, again, start with breath. It's free. Okay. Do it anywhere, you know, and it's such a – I mean, it's huge. So start with breath. And then most everyone has access to internet. You can just type in home exercises, home exercise routine, and find, you know, look at the different exercises because a lot of them have pictures and there's videos. You know, so you have to do a little research because, again, you want to get a toolbox of exercises. And then you start doing them by yourself. You know, you can. Here's a couple of things that here's a basic formula that I think is so important. You want to do a strengthening exercise followed by a stretch. So, for instance, you can do a push-up position and breathe in push-up position for, let's say, 10 breaths, which will be taxing for those who can't do push-ups. And if you do push-ups, then just do, you know, 10 to 15 push-ups. And then stand up and do a forward bend, as long as your lower back can accommodate that. Do a forward bend, do a back bend, do a side bend, and then do another routine of that. So you're strengthening, and then you're stretching. You're keeping yourself moving. You're giving yourself a little break because you're not doing the strength exercise, you know, consistently. And then if you can put together pairs of exercises and stretches, because this is what I would do with clients. This is my formula. I would do, you know, one strengthening and then one stretching. And it's such a great way to and your body feels better. It just enjoys that because it needs both.
And doesn't that exercise you just described strengthen your lower back over time?
It can if you're as long as you're holding your core tight. Then yes.
So that's what I used to do. Okay.
Yeah. What I'll recommend to everyone is that do your core research. I'll tell you right now the easiest way to connect to your core to tighten your core. So if everyone would take their hands and make them like into claws, and then you put your claws into your lower abdomen, and then cough or laugh.
Oh.
And when you do that, either one, you feel your core tightening.
That's your core.
And the whole purpose of the core tightening is to create stability to protect your back. And it's also to transfer energy between your lower body and your upper body. So learn to hold your core engaged like that and then do exercises. And that to me, you know, so breath and core are like foundational things. When you cough or you laugh, then do it without coughing or laughing.
Right.
And then practice tightening it just on your cough. You really feel it. You really can feel it, you know, how it tightens. And then, for instance, once you understand how to tighten your core by yourself, then you do a crunch while your core is still engaged. You know, you do a leg lift while your core is still engaged. And it changes it makes it much harder, but also now you're really engaging the way you need to engage. And most importantly, the purpose of a strong core is when you're standing, you know, and you're moving and you're lifting something or whatever, you're protecting your back because your core is always engaged.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Got it?
Because you know what? When my core is engaged, I can't fold over like I want to.
Right.
Wow.
And now if you need to fold over, then you relax your core and you fold over. But if, you know, if I were to stand in front of you and push you on your shoulders and your core is tight, you know, it'll be much harder for me to push you over. But if your core is not engaged, then you're going to go over like a sack of potatoes. Because
a
sack of potatoes always falls easily.
I'm sitting here pushing myself on the shoulders as you say that, and the resistance is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I let go, oh my God, does that affect almost the whole muscular system in your body?
Yeah, it really does. It's again, the breath and the core are the foundations, and if you got both of those, then you can really build, because it's about building the core strength to periphery. And a lot of times, too, is like, so your upper neck is usually the upper neck is overly engaged because the core is not engaged. So if you're stable from the core, then your neck can relax a little more.
Okay, well, let's go there. Most of the tension that we experience is in, like, the back of the head, the neck, the shoulders. So you're saying that engaging your core more often throughout the day will alleviate that for people?
To a degree. I mean, you really, I would say you want to add in the relaxation exercises, you know, really work on like, spending the day at the end of the day sitting in the chair and going through your body from head to toe, relaxing all the muscles, relaxing the neck, you know. And then once you're relaxed, because, you, again, it's all about reinforcing the leadership you want your body to experience. So now your neck is relaxed. Now you do some core exercises to train the body to say, okay, body, you're going to use your core to make sure that you're stable, not your neck.
Got you. That is so simple, and like we mentioned, it's not going to cost you anything to engage your core muscles. I think that's perfect.
Right. Yep.
Wow.
And a lot of this is in the book, is in the Guide to Holistic
Fitness. Yeah, I was going to say, let's tell them about the book.
Right. Yeah, it's all about relaxation. It's all about talking about the gym environment. It's all about creating your own exercise way based upon attributes that you want to develop for your life. So it's all about creating meaning and then also addressing your specific needs, your stress. You know, I mean, it just has everything. And also what I want to offer your listeners is, so I have on the website the De-Stress Therapy product. And what that is it's a 6-week program, and it has audios and manual, and it really takes you through how to go through the de-stress. So the Guide to Holistic Health or Fitness and the De-Stress product really go hand in hand.
Okay.
And what I'm going to offer your listeners, if they purchase the product, there's a coupon code I'm going to give you that if you put the coupon code in, you'll get it for 50% off. So it usually is $97, so you'll get it for $47. And that coupon code is No More Stress, and that's all one word.
Okay.
And if you have any problems, whoever is, you know, wanting to do this, you can just email me at support@energybasedhealth.com.
Perfect. And you mentioned you also have some free teleseminars coming up.
You know, actually, I'm in the process of them today. Today was the second one. This program is called the Letting Go Project. And what this is it's a 10-week email seminar or program where we focus each week on different aspects of letting go. So letting go of judgment, letting go of weight, letting go of negative thinking. And it's an audio and a text file. And so you practice each week each of these topics. And I'm doing a teleseminar series about the Letting Go Project and the certification program we have and, of course, offering special deals. And you can go to thelettinggoproject.com to see more about that program. And I think I emailed you the link for the teleseminar series.
You did, but I couldn't fit it into the show page because of the limitation on space.
It's energybasedhealth.com/LGP hyphen free calls, one word, on free calls.
There you go.
And again, if anyone didn't get the information or they want to, you know, they can just email me and I'll send you whatever your request at support@energybasedhealth.com.
And just to remind everybody, I know we mentioned products, but I want to reiterate that the Guide to Holistic Fitness is a free ebook.
Yes.
And you can download that. And as a bonus, you'll be able to be added to Sheldon's weekly positive transformation blog updates. So all you have to do is give him your first name and your email address, and the book is yours. So, wow, that's fantastic information, and I do hope that everybody is kind of stressed out enough to want to let go of the stress, if that makes sense. It's like, I can't take it anymore. I'm ready to let this go and give up and really get on a path that nurtures the soul so that the body will reflect that, you know?
That was perfectly said. Nurtures the soul because then the body reflects that. I love that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you have to let us know what you're up to and how things are going, and anytime you want to come back and share, do tune in to Sheldon's previous segment with us. You can go to the archives. It was October 11th, and we discussed so many fantastic things. There was not enough time to talk about everything we wanted to talk about today and also revisit most of those topics. But just to name a few, Sheldon has a novel, Evolution's Hero. He has the Letting Go Project, which offers spiritual cleansing strategies for your life, as well as coach certification if you would like to get on board and help others with these techniques. He, a while back, he shared co-authoring opportunities for writers. And today we wanted to focus on that body, mind, spirit guide to losing weight, because we know that's at the top of the list for many of us. But like we said, you have to start with nurturing the soul, and you will see results, no doubt. Sheldon, thank you once again so much for spending time with us, sharing your insight, your expertise, and all of your years of hard work developing all this stuff, and for all that you do for others. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be on again, and I will definitely keep you informed, because I do have more things coming down the pipe, and I'd love to tell you more.
Fantastic. Okay. I'll talk to you soon then.
Okay.
All right, Sheldon. So long. All right, everybody. That is our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We do appreciate it. Please take advantage of all the free offers and all of the wonderful things Sheldon offers on his website, energybasedhealth.com. And we will talk to you next time. Until then, God bless and be at peace.